It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18+. The following podcast contains explicit language.
Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, November 12th, the You Will Have Fun and You Will Like It edition. I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, host of Slate's The Kids Are Asleep, and mom to Naima, who is 7, and we live in Los Angeles, California.
I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom to 3 littles, Henry, who's 8, Oliver, who's 6, and Teddy, who is 4. And I'm located in Navarre, Florida.
Hey, I'm Dan Coyce. I'm a writer for Slate. I'm the author of the book How to Be a Family. I'm the dad of Lyra, who's 100, and Harper, who's also 100. I'm also 100. We all live in Arlington, Virginia.
Every week I hesitate at the age thing because time is no longer real. And that is no longer a 7-year-old. So I can empathize with you all being 100 because that means that Naima is at least 80. Today on the show, we've got a question about finding the proper time to celebrate a pregnancy. After a long and painful road to conception, when is it okay to get excited about the baby's arrival without feeling like you're jinxing something? We also have a question from a family that realized during lockdown that they don't actually know how to have a good time with one another. And as always, we've got triumphs and fails and recommendations. Let's start with you, Elizabeth. Do you have a triumph or a fail for us this week? I am dying to hear what you have to say this week.
I have a fail. So we fled Florida for the mountains of Tennessee in a tiny house, which is like legitimately one of those tiny houses you see on HGTV. They have like this community of them where they're like spaced in the woods. And apparently nobody goes there during the week because it was basically just us in our tiny house. And you can do a bunch of hiking. And we just thought it would be a nice way to kind of get away. And Jeff took leave and we all just went up there, and that part was great. I know the fail actually does not relate to all of us staying in a teeny tiny house. They had all these like bunk beds moved in. So actually for me, it was great because everybody had their own bed and their own space, as opposed to what happens in our house, which is that everybody wants to sleep as close to me as possible at all times. So that was nice. But we decided to like do all these shorter hikes. So like 2 miles or under to have time for the kids, you know, so they could do the hikes. And then we knew we'd be either back at the house or back at the car, like to tag up. So one morning we woke up and we got to our first hike and we're probably like 5 minutes down the trail and Henry spots something and we're all looking at it. And all of a sudden I feel just like wet and warm down my leg. And I turn and Oliver is peeing, but instead of peeing off the trail, he's peeing over the trail, which in order for me to look at what Henry, I have stepped into his peeing all over my pants. So that was not great, but I was like, okay, I'm not going to sink this. Like, I'm already the weak link on the hiking. Like, I like it, but I like it the least of the family. So I'm like, okay, this is fine. So we continue our hike. Everything's great. We see this beautiful waterfall. We hike back. We get in the car, drive, you know, 10 minutes or so to the next one. And Teddy is kind of sleepy. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'll put him in the carrier. So I load him up into the rear kid carrier. And Jeff like walks off to do, I don't know, check the map or something. And I'm getting all the kids out. And once again, warm feeling down my back. And I am like, I look at Henry and I said, no. Was I just thrown up on? And he's like, yeah. So I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So now I'm like trying to take this kid off who has just like thrown up all over my back inexplicably because he actually immediately demands from me snacks. Like, I'm hungry.
Yeah, you gotta replace what you lost.
Yeah, so I...
The electrolytes.
Clean him up, clean myself up. I did not have spare... I had spare everything, no spare pants for me. So now my peed on, thrown up pants, but I'm like, we're okay. So I've cleaned off with all the baby wipes. There was a very nice like maintenance man who let me use like the spigot to clean everything up. Great. We get on the trail. things are going great. Teddy at this point now is like running. He's having the time of his life. We like have this thing where we award someone like the best hiker. And we get down to the waterfall and we go under the waterfall and we're like, Teddy, you're the best hiker. He immediately is stung by a bee in his eye and is like screaming like in his eyelid. And then as he's coming like towards me because he can't see now, he trips over this boulder, runs directly to my jeans. And yes, the mom trifecta, blood all over the jeans because he has scraped up his hands. So on my beautiful trip, I hit the mom trifecta of being peed on, thrown up on, and bled on.
Oh, my God.
You know what, though? They all said it was an amazing day. It was just me around the campfire that night being like, well, those jeans are gone.
It's basically a National Lampoon's hiking trip.
Yeah. The thing is, as Teddy is running towards me, Jeff tries to like intercept him, but he wants dad, forget that. I need those jeans.
No, you want to bleed on mom for sure.
Yeah. You know?
It's amazing. Amazing story. I couldn't be happier.
I would watch a sitcom of your life. And I think this often. That's not real. That didn't like.
Totally. I lived it. It was so real.
My favorite one is the peeing, I think, because the idea that there was a line of fire and you stepped into it. Yeah, that's the best move.
Right into it.
I think that's the blood is just.
Well, that was coming. Once I had the other two, I thought, well, someone's going to bleed on me.
I assumed you actually had gotten shat on. So, honestly,
yes, that would have been like the other way. Yes.
That's what I was afraid of. Yeah. When I was like, oh my God, what else is left? What else? I didn't think of blood. I was like, did he then shit on
me? It definitely could have gone a different way.
Like, this is
the good news is the rest of the trip, when Oliver needed to use the bathroom on the trail, he would say, we pee off the trail.
I was like, good lesson.
Yes.
We barf off, mommy.
Nothing feels as safe as on mom's back.
I was like, wait, is this just all extreme boy stuff? But I'm like, no, I forgot. We had a relatively recent pee incident. Wow, Elizabeth, that is something else. Congratulations. You win. No matter what happens next, you win. Dan?
Yeah, that's a fail for the record books, and I can't compete with really. Luckily, it's not a competition. I also have a fail this week. My fail is that despite the best efforts of everyone, Lyra and me and her mom, we are somehow raising a truant. We're still doing remote school. The way the schedule works here in Arlington, Virginia is that the kids have synchronous days on Tuesday through Friday, but Monday is an asynchronous day, async they call it, where the kids just like catch up on work and the teachers, I think more to the point, catch up on assignments and do their staff meetings and stuff like that. For reasons that are not 100% clear to me, but which seem to have something to do with the fact that there's a state mandated number of days of school per year. Every Monday, the kids have to check in at one point during the day for what's called the Patriot period. So that the school, I suppose, can get credit for teaching them for a day. So it gets credit as a day of school. So it's like a 20-minute nothing class where you like check in and the teacher just, you know, some days they don't do anything. Some days they play a game. Some days they like watch videos about drugs, whatever. And it's bullshit, but whatever. We tell Lyra to do it because you're supposed to do it. And she does it because she's actually quite a goody-goody despite her her shit talking and rampant socialism. So every day she checks in at noon every Monday, and every Monday night, Ali and I get simultaneous phone calls, texts, and emails from the automated Arlington attendance system saying that your daughter has an unexcused absence today. Please call the office at blah, 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 blah. So every day she goes, but doesn't get credited for it. So currently the system has her missing 20% of the days of school so far this year.
That's my girl.
That's right.
Yeah, say you're in Jamila territory.
My senior year, I was 17%. She's putting up higher numbers than
me. She's putting numbers on the boards. It's true. But I guess if she's going to be truant, I want her to really earn the benefits of it.
Yeah.
And like, you know, get to go to the mall or something. But instead, she's just sitting in this stupid Patriot period and still being told she's not there. So part of the fail is that we just like can't figure out how to navigate the system, apparently. And then part of the fail also is that I can't bring myself to care. I just can't bring myself to give a shit about this baloney school attendance thing that is only for purposes of paperwork and affects nothing. So I haven't managed to get it together to call the school to protest my daughter's multiple unexcused absences.
I was gonna say, at some point, do you call when you get the initial call, though?
No, because it's like 9 p.m. on a Monday. There's no one to call. It's just the computer voice.
Has she mentioned it to her Patriot period proctor?
Uh-huh.
All right.
Great question. Maybe I'll ask her in May.
Like, hey, I'm never here, so can I just not be here?
Can I be not here? Eventually, I guess I'll deal with it. I guess maybe like right after Child Protective Services comes.
I was going to say, when CPS shows up, then you will deal with it.
They'll be dealt with when they call your house.
Yeah. I mean, it would be great if a human called my house that I could talk to instead of the automated voicemail that arrives simultaneous with the text, which arrives simultaneous with the email with our Alias and my phones blowing up at 9 p.m. on Mondays.
Also, if there have been that many absences and a human hasn't reached out, that's pretty unfortunate. Like that they're not actually checking. Like they're happy to put this as a, you know, a red mark on her record, but they're not checking to make sure that everything's okay.
Or it's that it's happening to everyone. Is that everyone is marked absent that's from true. Patriot period, so they've just given up.
Yeah. Well,
mm-hmm. That's so weird. Also that it's called Patriot period.
Yeah, that's you know, we live in Arlington, Virginia. Virginia is real big on its colonial past.
Yeah.
All right, Jamila, triumph or fail for you this week?
I also have a fail. I always have like a few to pick from at this point. Now that I'm used to doing the year end, I'm like, oh, how many things have I done wrong this week that I can quickly recount? I also went for a hike. This was actually last weekend, and I was really excited about it. This was like a hike. I did have on proper hiking shoes, which is very good. I was with a group of other women for one of my sister friend's birthdays. And she said, you know, we'll do champagne and little, you know, light bites and a hike. And I was like, cool. I agonized over clothes, but I did okay, except for I wore shorts that kind of like are a little wedgie-ish. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know, these girls are kind of flat. I'm like, this could go either way. Like we could be looking at all designer cutesy hiking outfits, or they could be straight up true Angelinos and like look like they just, you know, their outfit came together from the lint in the corner of the room, right? Because LA people have like two settings, like either super fancy put together or like unwashed
yoga pants dust. And a ripped tank top,
right? Like, and it could be a $5,000 ripped tank top, or it could be a $5 one, as long as it looks like a $5 one. I'm like, cool. Okay. So I was in charge of bringing dessert. So it's a birthday. So I'm like, okay, she said cupcakes. So I think I have to bring the cupcakes, right? Like I didn't ask, like, do you already have cupcakes? So no problem. I always, like whenever I have to bring food for things, I always go overboard. Like my biggest fear is to like be responsible for people eating and like people not having enough to eat. Like, am I the only one who does this? I always overspend. I always just do too much. You know, and this is a group of all Black women. And I'm like, I know how picky we are. Just women in general, like we're picky about food because all of us have food issues. And like, you know what I mean? Like, I just want to make sure everyone has an abundance of options, whatever. So I'm like, okay, I'll get some cupcakes. And I got a couple of like cake slices from this kind of bougie grocery store and some cookies. And I was like, oh, and I'll bring another. I had some limoncello. I was like, oh, you know, I'll just bring that to top off like the champagne, you know. In my mind, like there's like a picnic area or something. So like somewhere like downhill, if you will, like down here is where we eat. And like we have this moment perhaps after the hike. So like we're leaving our stuff in the car and then we're coming down and we're going to have like our little picnic moment, you know. You know, because a lot of these green spaces are very foreign to me. You know, I haven't spent a lot of time in this part of the country. So I have no real context for like when we're going on a hike. I drove through like the Manhattan Beach area, which I wasn't expecting. I'm like, I was going to be driving through, I don't know, mountainous looking things. Like, I don't look at the map when I'm told where to go in California. I need to work on that. I just like follow the GPS. Like, I know that I just look at the general area.
It's just a series of delightful surprises.
It's a series of delightful surprises. So again, I still equate Mike. So part of the reason that I was so anti-hiking for my first year here, because I think I talked about this on the show before, when I pictured hiking, I was thinking of mountain climbing.
Right, like they'd attach a bunch of ropes to you and pull you off. Yeah.
Like my image was just like the climbing part, which is involved. Like we did end up having to use our hands for certain part, you know, like especially those of us who were least experienced. Like, you know, you may have to use your hands to kind of navigate an area, but it's not literally like you're not climbing, right? You're walking around. And so I'm like, okay, so this food moment happens before or after. I didn't realize that it was a during. And so I had a cooler. Like, it's a little soft black, like, cooler. It's a big pink and green thing. Most of the girls, and the girl whose birthday was, are my sorority sisters. Also, our sorority sister, Kamala Harris. I will be reminding you all of that frequently. But so I have this, like, big-ass cooler with, like, a liquor bottle and food. And I have, like, another bag with a blanket. So, like, and so people were kind enough to help, but I didn't realize that, like, so I was like, oh, everyone has a backpack. That's one thing that everyone has for hiking that I now know. Yeah, it's
traditional.
Backpack.
Carry your
didn't
stuff.
Think of it.
Yeah, it's a classic. Classic backpacker move is to wear a backpack.
And like, I wore a backpack for like 6 years. Well, I mean, I wore a backpack my whole academic career. And so it was like cool to wear a messenger bag. But like, there was a period of my life in which I was a very much a backpack hip hopper and wore a backpack. Going like I wasn't going to school. I also carried a purse because I was still high femme, but like I carried a backpack because I was so committed to hip hop that I had to have a backpack. Now, as somebody who obsesses over being event appropriate and having all of the things, right? Like that is the thing. Like I must have the things if I'm going to be at this thing and there, you know, like I have to have my things. I come hiking with a big ass cooler and stuff. And I walked up the trail. Looking like a bag lady. But now I know that when I go, now I get to buy a backpack.
Right. I was going to say, surely this makes you more excited about hiking because now you understand that part of the fun of it is gear.
Yes. I'm thrilled.
You know,
about
they
gear.
Make cooler backpacks, a cooler you can wear on your back and put your limoncello in.
I was going to say, I could have a straw just like drinking mimosas.
That's the overlap between hiker and Jets fan is the straw coming from your backpack to your lips.
I also, a triumph that would have been a triumph if anyone had been interested. I had multiple marijuanas with me, but nobody asked for any. And so I just kind of thought that the faint smell of it on me when I showed up, also a little bit late because I got lost. So everyone had to wait for me. And then I come out the car with like, you know, this, but I smoked because I was getting anxious about being lost. And I was like, okay, you know, let me stop and look at the map and smoke real quick. And so anyway, I'm sure it was great for them to have to wait for me and me pulling up smelling like weed. But I also thought that if somebody wanted some, they would ask, but nobody asked for any of my weed.
I kind of can't believe that. Like, why are you hiking up a mountain if you don't want to smoke at the top?
I don't even understand. Well, we didn't go to the top of a mountain. It was like it was by a beach. Remember, we were by Manhattan Beach.
Yeah,
it was
nice, Team Jamila on that one.
Yes. And it was very hikey. It was a real hike. I was like, oh, shit. Like, those of us who were least a little bit less experienced had to, like, there was a learning curve. But everyone was fine. It wasn't like, we didn't slow the group down that much. But it was still like, okay, here's what you do. Like, you know, lean this way. And
I'm very glad you had this experience, Jamila. I do want to tell you, though, about the old hiker's adage that it's not truly a real hike unless you are peed on, barfed on, and bled on.
I'm so sure that if any children had been allowed to attend this hike, that all of those things would have happened.
Yeah. Good maybe fails, everyone. Love a three fail day.
Three fails. Three fail day. Yes. Before we move on to hopefully letters that don't end in fails for our beloved listeners, let's do some business. In Slate Plus this week, we will be competing to see who has allowed their kid to watch the worst show. Here's a quick sneak peek of what you'll hear if you have Slate Plus.
So, not appropriate. But most recently, Oliver got to view most of the documentary Class Action Park with me. He may now never go to
Was he just like, that's awesome!
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, he was like so quiet. And then he was like, is that ride real?
To hear segments like that and to get ad-free versions of your favorite Slate podcasts, please sign up for Slate Plus. It's only $35 for your first year. It's a great way to support all of your favorite Slate shows, and you won't hit a paywall on the site, so you can keep up with all of Slate's journalism. So if you'd like to support Mom and Dad Are Fighting, which we surely would appreciate, go to slate.com/momanddadplus and join Slate Plus today. Also, if you haven't watched my little Slate Live show, The Kids Are Asleep, you're really missing out. We stream on Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that is tonight. And I'll be talking with Courtney Taylor of Chase Away Diabetes. We'll have links to Slate's YouTube and Facebook pages in our show notes, or you can check them out at slate.com/live. Keep up with all of Slate's parenting content by signing up for Slate's parenting newsletter. It's the best place to be notified about everything, including Mom and Dad Are Fighting, The Kids Are Asleep, Ask a Teacher, Care and Feeding, and so much more. Plus, it's a fun, very personal email from Dan each week right in your inbox. So sign up at slate.com/parenting email. Looking for even more parenting advice? Join our parenting group on Facebook. It's super active. I'm a super lurker, but it's super active. And we also moderate it so it doesn't get too out of control. Just search for Slate Parenting on Facebook.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
All right, now let's get into our first listener question, which is being read, as always, by the lovely Sasha Leonard.
Dear Mom and Dad, after a long and painful road, my sister is expecting her first child. She's now well into her second trimester, but hasn't started telling people. Made all the easier because of working from home and social distancing. But because of COVID, the normal opportunities to celebrate, such as having a baby shower, also aren't possible. I don't want to add to her anxiety, but nor do I want to seem like I'm avoiding celebrating or being excited for her. As more celebrities share personal stories of pregnancy loss and fertility struggles, it feels like this social taboo is changing, but I don't want to inadvertently push her to be more public than she's comfortable with about her experience. Should I wait to buy her baby gifts or start talking about her future life with her child until she does? What is an appropriate way to celebrate a pregnancy for someone who has experienced pregnancy loss or is highly anxious about this time in their life?
Oh, this is a very relevant question for a good number of folks in my life, and certainly something that's been all over the news lately. Dan?
I really want to hear what you two have to say about this. And so I just have a very short answer that I would like you guys to respond to. The easiest answer to this question is to ask, right? To ask your sister, whom you care about, how much do you want to be celebrating this pregnancy at this point in your life? What is the best way for me to talk about this with you? But you may feel, letter writer, nervous about even making that kind of overture. You know, you don't go into detail about how long and difficult this road was, but it seems like that getting pregnant was really hard. The one reassurance I would like to give you is that, as you say in this letter, she hasn't started telling people about this pregnancy yet. But what you don't have to say is that she has told you. She chose you to tell about this news. You were the person or a person in her life that she was comfortable sharing this information with me. That says to me that it's likely that you're a person that she is excited about sharing this upcoming event with, about sharing the joy with, and sharing her fears and anxiety and concerns with. But at the very least, you have, I think, a space of comfort to start talking through these questions with her because you're the one she chose to share this information with. But what do you two think?
Dan, I agree with you that I felt like it was an interesting framing of the question because there's nothing about being excited for someone. Like, to me, celebrating and being excited are two totally different things. And I think each person is different. For me, each pregnancy was different, like in terms of how I felt, in terms of ready to share that information, who I wanted to share that information with. But I think that because she has come to you, you definitely can have these conversations and tell her, you know, you're excited and that you're also here for her. But I think it's, I also think it's okay to ask, like, you know, when you're ready to celebrate this, I would love to help you do that. And even if that is after baby arrives, if that is, you know, a month from now, whenever that is, I'm here for you and I would love to do something for you because I love you and I, you know, love this baby. I think all of that is appropriate. There is no level of support that I think is inappropriate to a new mom. What is inappropriate is like outing this person. Like it is not your information to share. And no matter how much you think that celebrating it is important, that's not for you to decide. So I think the big thing is just keeping those lines of communication open, being just super excited about whatever she is sharing with you. I know like for me, it took us a long time to get pregnant with Henry. And so I had these same, like, didn't want to jinx it feelings, but I had these people around me who were like, we're just so excited for you. And when you're ready, we're here for you to be excited and to do the things and to go shopping for baby stuff or to look online. But until then, like, we're just happy to help you get through the first trimester by being really good friends and being there for you if you just want to like hang out at the house and watch a movie because you're not feeling good, or you just like want to be left alone and we can bring you, you know, food so that that's something you don't have to worry about for your spouse, like things like that. I think there are lots of ways to show that you are excited and to celebrate without it being this big thing that, you know, your sister's uncomfortable with. Jamila, what do you think?
I agree. And I love what you said, Dan, about just remember, like, she shared this with you. So whether it's a matter of I just have to tell somebody because I can't keep this to myself or just between myself and my partner, if she has one, or if you're the person she, you know, was excited to tell first, or you're the person who she tells everything to, like, she shared this information with you for a reason. That's something to treasure, hopefully. I'd say, when you have that conversation, you know, I agree. Yes. Ask and acknowledge, you know, it doesn't have to be that you're coming in with a long speech. You know, you don't have to belabor it or make things, you know, more excruciating than they have to be. But just say, you know, knowing that this has been a difficult process for you, I really want to take the lead from you in terms of how we talk about this. You know, I want you to know that you can talk to me and that I'm here for you every step of the way. And you can share as little or as much as you'd want to, if that's something that you're comfortable receiving, because I don't know your own story and what your own relationship to the idea of having a child would be. But it sounds like you're, you know, thoroughly committed to being in this process with your sister. But, you know, affirming that you're there, acknowledging why, you know, this is a difficult thing to share and that you understand that and that you don't want to add to the anxiety, but you also hope that your lack of excitement or sending, you know, doing things that people might do when they're excited that a new baby is coming to the family, that like, if your excitement or your enthusiasm is not palpable, it's not because you're not enthusiastic, it's because you want to respect your sister's, you know, process and what she's feeling. Also, in addition to what Elizabeth was saying about like, hey, you know, we can cook dinner for you. I can, you know, come rub your feet. Like I can, what can I do for you to be supportive? Also, if there are things that you can take off of her plate that may feel a little scary because of what it took to get to pregnancy, like making a baby registry, right? And there are a lot of people that are superstitious, you know, even if they haven't had a hard time getting pregnant or, you know, any, you know, reason to think that something might go wrong. Like I did not buy baby clothes until the very, very end because I had this fear that I would be buying clothes for a baby that would not come, you know, that something would happen and I would have this dress, you know, I'd have this outfit. And the last thing I wanted to do was to have clothes for a baby that I wasn't having. And that very well could be something that your sister has experienced, you know, a time in which they thought there was going to be, you know, a baby and there was not. saying, I can create your registry, you know, if there's some things that you need research on, you know, if you don't feel like thinking about strollers and cribs and, you know, if I can take some of that off of your plate, I'm happy to do it. Just making yourself as much of a resource and an ally and a listening ear as you can be. And, you know, I think that even if you don't feel super comfortable having a pointed conversation about it, just continue to take her lead. And, you know, I think that she is going to show you how she wants to celebrate and reveal and process this pregnancy.
Those are all really good points, both of you. I'm particularly struck by Elizabeth's delineation between sharing excitement and celebrating. And the letter writer uses those two terms a little bit interchangeably in the letter. And I think I do too, just in casual conversation, but it's a useful delineation to think about in terms of how you can relate to your sister. I think at a base level, your sister sharing this information with you gives you permission to share excitement with her privately, right? In texts and phone calls and emails. It can be measured excitement and you don't want to like go crazy with it and start sending her 100, you know, onesies. But I do think just sharing the fact that you are excited personally with her is not at all off limits and should be encouraged. It's the celebrating that is the thing that I think requires the next level of conversation and permission in a sense, right? It's celebrating through Facebook or through doing other public things or starting to plan the baby shower, whether over Zoom or in person after the baby is born or whatever. And keeping in mind that most people, when they're pregnant, do want some combination of those two things from the people that are close to them. So they want some combination of the personal connection, the personal excitement about the baby itself, and they want often some kind of public acknowledgement or celebration of this incredible thing that is happening to them. Like that is gratifying to many people when they are pregnant. And so think of those as two different paths that you can follow during this pregnancy. And one of them is the path that I think you've started to be given permission to follow already by your sister sharing this with you. And the other is the path that requires something a lot more measured because it's something that would be a lot more, even more painful if you do it wrong.
I agree.
I think that part about being excited and being there for them is so important because there are also people that hate being pregnant. I have a friend that hated being pregnant, and I, to her, was just the person that she could, you know, bitch about it to and made it to be like, yeah, that's terrible. Even though I loved being pregnant. Like, I think the more you can be there, like, you don't know if that's not part of this too. Like, maybe she, there are just so many things that go into feelings around being pregnant. It could also be that she waited all this time to get pregnant and now, like, the process of being pregnant is not that great. And so if you can just be there too to hear that and still be like, I'm still excited for you. And that is really terrible. And it does really suck. And I'm sorry. And how can, like Jamila said, this is where you can really step in and say, what can I take off your plate? And I love the idea of doing the baby things. Like, if that's not your thing, if someone to step in to do that, I think would be like such a wonderful gift, you know?
Yeah, that's great.
Definitely. Now would be a good time to do some reading about what pregnancy is like for people who've struggled to get pregnant. And, you know, because that may provide some insight for you and how to be supportive of your sister and some of the things that you want to say, you know, and avoid saying. And so that's not that you want to, you know, buy a book and then, you know, position yourself as an expert and say, well, what you need to do is this. But it may help you find some tools to be supportive. Remind your sister you're doing great. It's okay. Like, if she hates being pregnant after a long road to pregnancy, she may feel guilty about hating being pregnant, or she may think something's wrong with her and that everyone loves it. And it's like, no, it's totally fine for this to suck. Like, a lot of people do not like it. I was not a tremendous fan of it myself. It's a foreign invasion in your body that is literally sucking your nutrients and feasting off of you to stay alive. Like, it's totally fine to be uncomfortable physically and for that to make you feel uncomfortable otherwise. So be a cheerleader, be a listening ear, and be a shopper, if asked. Just, you know, be in tune with what your sister wants from you. Good luck to you all, letter writer. Congratulations in advance on the sweet little bundle of joy. Please keep us posted. Hey, fellow listeners, if you have a question for us, send an email, momanddad@slate.com, or you can post it in the Slate Parenting Facebook group.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Hey, listeners, whether you love true crime or comedies, celebrity interviews, news, or even motivational speakers, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue, right? And guess what? Now you can call the shots on your auto insurance, too. Enter the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. The Name Your Price tool puts you in charge of your auto insurance by working just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance. Then they'll show you a variety of coverages that fit within your budget, giving you options. Now, that's something you'll want to press play on. It's easy to start a quote, and you'll be able to choose the best option for you fast. It's just one of the many ways you can save with Progressive Insurance. Quote today at progressive.com to try the Name Your Price tool for yourself and join over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. On to our second listener question, which is being read once again by the wonderful Sasha Leonard.
One of the things the pandemic has brought to light is that our family just doesn't know how to have fun together. We're queer parents with a 7-year-old, and we can have fun in twos, but not the three of us together. The kiddo is averse to doing new things. A lot of the things he enjoys, my spouse does not. And I'm out of ideas for how we can all hang out. We have had some luck going out to aquariums, zoos, or science museums, but only once or twice before my spouse opts out. And that hasn't been an option the last several months because of the pandemic. My spouse is willing to try something different, but I'll have to orchestrate it. What can we do? We spend a lot of time in our respective corners in the house, or doing things in a pair. I always imagined we'd be a family that would do puzzles, play games, go hiking or bike riding together. And no more than two of us will do any of those things. We can't even agree on a movie or TV show to watch together. Someone is always opting out.
I have thoughts. What about you, Elizabeth, our queen of fun and activity?
What do you mean opting out?
What do you mean opting out?
What that the is... fuck do you mean opting out?
That is exactly the root of this problem. There's no opting out of forced family fun. That's what makes it fun. You know that someone is suffering. And sometimes it's you, and sometimes it's your spouse, and sometimes it's your kiddo. Okay, anyway, I think there are two options here. First, this is just how your family operates, and that's perfectly okay. And you have an expectation management problem that you believe that families look like X, which is everyone out having a great time together. And you fundamentally believe that all of those people are having a great time doing that activity, and therefore you should have that too. You can just be okay with the reality that in your family, you do things in groups of two. And sometimes that's you and your partner. Sometimes that's you and your kiddo. Sometimes that's your kiddo and your partner. And that is okay. That is an okay way to be a family and perfectly acceptable. I think the other option is that you get over it and you hang out together and you say, we want to be a family that does things together. We are going to do things together. Sometimes it's not going to be your choice of activity, but you do it because the other people in your life are having fun and being with them is fun. Because now we are a family of five, like that is the reality for someone most of the time. Like there are very few things that all five of us think like this is the best thing ever. But there's just the expectation that like we are doing this as a family. And if you are the odd person out, you won't be the odd person out next time. Like you'll be the person who got to choose the activity or whatever. And sometimes you go, and especially as an adult, you go and you're just like, watching my, you know, husband have fun with my children is enough for me to be like, okay, this was a couple hours well spent. I think one of the things you can do is limit the activity time. Like, don't make this a full weekend bonanza. Just have it be a couple of hours and then allow everyone to have their own time doing things. That seems to me really manageable to say, like, you just have to spend a couple hours doing this thing that you don't absolutely love. And maybe you'll, you know, grow to love it or find something fun in it. What we do here is that we have a little jar with popsicle sticks, and everybody gets to add activities to the popsicle sticks. We call it the boredom jar, and we shake it up and we draw one. Jeff and I do cheat and take out anything that is just like a terrible idea from the children. But other than that, we don't take them.
Please give us an example of a terrible idea you recently have removed from the boredom jar.
Yeah, okay. Well, they add a lot of like, go to get the following five treats on the same popsicle stick. You know, like today we will go get ice cream followed by snow cones followed by a stop at the donut shop. And so those are like vetoed. They've added something we've all gone to do once and decided was a terrible idea. But yes, I mean, you know us, we'll try anything.
First of all, I have this vision, Elizabeth, of one of your kids writing like, go geocaching at the strip club again. And you guys just taking out being like, nope. Sorry, kid.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's pee, vomit, and bleed on mom.
Done that once. No good.
One thing that we've tried very hard to get our kids to understand over many years, something that is sort of a foundational truth of our family, is that part of being a family, part of loving people, is that you do things with them that you don't always love the most because they love them, because they love doing those things. And in exchange, they do things with you that maybe they don't love the most because you love doing them. The trade-offs are worth it. Now, it's very hard to get children to understand that concept, right? It basically flies against everything we understand about cognition and childhood brain development. As our kids become older, as they're teenagers now, it's getting easier to make that case, and they acknowledge it and recognize it. One thing it shouldn't be hard to do is it shouldn't be hard to get an adult to understand this concept.
Thank you.
It should not be hard to get your partner to understand this concept. And so I agree with Elizabeth. The one possibility here is that you're just a family that just does things in twos, and maybe that's the way it is. But I do get a lot of like big red sirens off this letter and think that at a base level, your partner just needs to like fucking step it up. Like no parent on earth can just say they don't like going to the zoo or playing games with their kids.
Right?
Tough shit. You just go to the zoo and play games with your kids, whether you like it or not.
None
no one fucking
like
likes Candyland, but you play Candyland. And so, you know, I would like you to gently and kindly remind your spouse that this is part of the shit you sign up for when you are a parent. If it helps, have the spouse listen to this podcast and watch all the blood drain from their face as they hear how we judge them. And I would urge you as well to not think of it necessarily as your job to quote unquote orchestrate it, to find things that your partner might like. It is your partner's job in this relationship, if they're not into the shit that you're coming up with that you like, to find things that they like that they want to do with the family and to make those things happen. Like it can't just be one person's job to try and create all the moments of family togetherness. The other person has to step up too, even if family togetherness isn't the most important thing in the world to them, because family togetherness clearly is an important thing to you and they love you and should be paying attention to that. Jamila, what do you think?
I absolutely think you should get your spouse listening to this podcast, because we have dropped so many gems over at least the time that I've been here that would have been helpful. I will show my co-host, you all, well, actually, y'all, maybe I'll put this on the Facebook page. This is some sort of, I don't know what artwork platform my daughter used to make a collage of pictures of Belle Biv DeVoe. Why in 2020 is my child making a Belle Biv DeVoe collage? Because I introduced her to New Edition and she became obsessed with them. Why did I encourage and allow this? Because there was something that I liked that my daughter took a big shining in, because I like all parents must have not only suffered through the candy lands and the zoo trips, but I also have found things that I'm passionate about that I enjoy doing, and I have integrated them into my child's life successfully. We found common ground. There are things that she's into that don't drive me crazy. She might be a little bit more into them than I am, because I don't think that I made a Belle Biv DeVoe collage at 7 years old, when it probably would have made a lot more sense for somebody at 7 years old to be making Belle Biv DeVoe collages. But we found our stuff that we can do together. And I also, as judgy as I'm being, as we're all being, and certainly the reaction to opting out it's so sweet how you position it. As I totally see the 7-year-old being like, no, it's cool. I don't want to do that. But you know, and I know, and Dan knows, and Elizabeth knows, and the producers know, and everybody knows that it's your spouse who's like, this isn't my thing. And that's why it's become an issue, because you have a full adult who seems to think that the rest of the parents at the goddamn space museum are having the time of their lives and that they're there because they want to be there. Right? This is a thing that a lot of us have to learn the hard way. And I'll admit, my daughter called me out. Like, she would put something on the table, and if it was something that I wasn't into at all, oftentimes I would say, that sounds like a dad's house thing. And it wasn't just that these were things that were not my, some things it was just like, nope, I'm not fucking with it. And other things was literally, you know, like, they're into XYZ. This makes sense for their interests. Like, you, everyone will have a better experience if this is a dad's house thing, because it's naturally the same way that, you know, like, there've been things that she's done, you know, movies she's watched over there, or places she's gone with them, where I'm like, oh, we can do that. You know, like, that would have been great for us to do, or I wish you'd, you know, I wish I had done that with her first. Right. But I thought I was being helpful at times. But at other times, I realized that maybe there were things that I thought were dad's house things because I thought they were into it because they were sucking it up better than I was. You know, that they, I was like, oh, wait. No, nobody likes this. They're just doing it.
I like your example of, like, making the collage and introducing, you know, music or something, because it also seems from this letter like the idea of hanging out is like this big outing or this big thing that someone has to, like, orchestrate or arrange. And I was thinking, like, well, what did you and your partner do before you had the kid? Whatever that is, there is a version, well, not
with
whatever,
limits.
But there's many things that you can do with your child. Yeah, many things.
With limits.
Yeah, with limits. If you guys like to cook together, like, there's cooking that you can do with your kid. If you guys like to, whatever it is, you can find something, crafting, building. Like, there are things of that nature that don't take a huge investment. And, you know, the letter says, like, my 7-year-old is adverse to new things. Like, I don't know, my 7-year-old is also adverse to new things. I feel like that is built into 7-year-old boys, like, do not want to be moved. And to move them takes a lot of energy. But once you get going, things go really well. And also, Dan had a, like, success a few weeks back about, like, adding ice cream to any trip. And I think that definitely applies here. Add something like that that is an incentive, like, oh, and by the way, at the end of this, we plan to go do or get X, which we all like because it is a sweet treat at a place that also offers beer, right? Like, if whatever that is.
Yeah, I was going to say, that works on spouses as well.
I was going to say, that's who needs it. So you might have to offer up that thing you like. I don't know.
Yes. Like, we do a lot of brewery things because, like, for the most part, they have outdoor seating. There's, like, beer. There's usually stuff for the kids to do or space for them to run around. It feels like, well, this is a win for all of us, and we can cap off our hike there. So I think there's stuff like that that isn't a huge investment, but that everyone can kind of find common ground, even if it's in, like, we like to go to this place where the three of us do our own different things, but we do them together in a new place like that. That's also a family outing.
And maybe a little, you know, that bribery with your spouse, there may have to be an after party. You know what I mean? Like the things that you're offering them may not be, and I don't necessarily only mean, you know, bedroom stuff. It could be, I'll make breakfast in bed, or, you know, you can sleep in a little, you know, I know how much you hate this particular thing, but this is the thing that the kid wants to do. If you suck it up, go try your best to have a good time, you know, I'll cook dinner for the next 3 days, or, you know, I'll bring home a bottle of your favorite whiskey, something, you know, and not to the point where you're constantly bribing an adult to be a good parent, but just enough to, you know, show that there's some,
like, acknowledge that you understand this is not their favorite thing. So how can we as a family, like, make this more tolerable?
Yes.
I think we all agree that, like, step one is that this partner needs to suck it up.
And find out what is the thing that they like. Like, you can't just expect children to just be fun for you. Like, oh, well, we tried. Unfortunately, this kid is into Dungeons and Dragons, zoos, and art. And none of those are my things. So, I don't know. You know? And then, oh, you said things happen in pairs. I'm curious to know. I love what you said, Elizabeth, about us thinking that a family is supposed to function. You know, like, if it's not typically the three of us having a good time, then something's wrong. As a two person household, you know, that I wouldn't have thought about at all. And I certainly am, you know, in some level still kind of chasing that, right? Like that when somebody else comes in, it's going to be all of us, right? Like we're just going to do family stuff, you know? The only way that that works to say that, like, hey, we're not always a three-person unit. We're more often than not a two-person unit. That's fine. As long as all possible combinations of those partnerships are formed on a regular basis, which means it's not just, I hope it's not just my spouse and I are great together. Me and the kid are great together. What about the kid and the spouse? And what is it that they like to do together that they don't like doing with you? Because it seems that you would be willing, I get the impression you'd be willing to do their stuff. So I'm hoping that they are finding time together. And maybe it's like, yeah, they've been time together. They don't do anything. They just talk. You know, and perhaps that's sufficient, you know, like that's good. But like, I just hope that they actually do have time together. So sorry to end on such a cynical note, but I think that's a big concern. And if that is not the case, that's something else that needs to be addressed because you have to also work very, very well in pairs. That's incredibly important. You all are not just the family when there's the three of you and the two of them need to be just as comfortable, just as happy, just as, you know, good together as you are with your pair, your two pairs. So good luck to you, letter writer. Please keep us posted. Hope that wasn't too bad that you come back.
I surely this letter writer the whole time was like, finally, fucking thank God someone told me I'm right.
Yes. Like
we were very kind to the letter writer.
You're doing everything you're supposed to do.
This letter writer does sound great.
You are awesome. You're willing to do you don't like puzzles. You don't you probably don't even like hiking or bike rides. You just wanted to be a family. I appreciate you, letter writer. Your heart is in the right place. Thank you for your question. And hey, fellow listeners, if you want us to rip your family to shreds for an international audience, please send in your question or conundrum to momanddad@slate.com. Before we get out of here, let's do recommendations. Starting with you, Dan, what do you have for us this week?
I'm recommending a comic for middle schooler to early high schoolers that just came out by a cartoonist named Mike Corrado. It's called Flamer, and it's a very sweet and just slightly intense in, I think, pleasing to middle schoolers way story about a young Eagle Scout struggling with his love of scouting, but also the way that the organization and the people in his troop are not always accepting of his nature. He's a closeted young gay kid. He's trying to figure himself out. And it's a really interesting book about being passionate about something, but also understanding that you're an outsider and you're struggling to fit in. Very elegantly drawn, very striking use of color. I like the book a lot. Once again, it's called Flamer by Mike Corrado. And I would definitely recommend it for any ambitious middle school or early high school reader, especially one who's interested in LGBTQ issues.
Very nice. Sounds like an excellent read. I'd like to read that myself. What do you have for us, Elizabeth?
Ironically, I am going to recommend a pair of pants. These are, they were not the ones I was wearing, but I wish I had been. I have this like amazing pair of leggings made by Flip Belt. They make belts that you wear when you're running, but they have built a pair of leggings with the belt actually built in. And they are perfect if you, like me, are heading out and don't want to like have a purse with you because there is a little strap to attach your key and zip it up and a pocket for your phone. It's like a little, it's just like the running belt, but it's built into these black leggings. The leggings are incredibly comfortable. And I think they're sort of like the ultimate mom pants because with three kids, like if we're at the park, I don't always have time to like have my bag and all my stuff. And this way I can have like my keys and my... They would not, Jamila, they would not have held your cupcakes, but they would have held your phone.
I was going to say, how tight are how do they fit?
They have a bunch of different like high, low waist fit. Mine sit like, they fit like running pants, like running leggings, like athletic ones. But they're perfect for like park or light hiking or any of that, like cute with like a tank over them. And I think given how like soft and smooth and silky they are, the pee may have just like run off as opposed to soak into the jeans I was wearing. But I was not wearing these when the aforementioned trifecta happened. So I can't guarantee that. But the I'm really loving the Flip Belt pants for just like momming and exercising. But I mostly wear them just for momming.
That is something that I would like to purchase. I'm sorry. Every time I think about, I don't know. It's like I'm having a disassociative moment. It's just like, I think.
The trifecta.
And now that I know they were jeans, I'm like, I'm looking at my jeans. I'm looking at, you know, that I very rarely wear. And part of the reason I don't wear jeans is because they're so impractical. Like, you spill something on jeans and it's like they're part of your outfit. It's just there.
Yes. It was disgusting.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I think that we will all be getting a pair of those pants because they sound like lifesavers. So I am recommending a store that is based in my hometown of Chicago, and they're fully online. It's called Kiddo. They sell books and clothes, and they've got a house clothing brand that's super cute, and they make lots of shirts that have positive affirmative messages, oftentimes featuring kids of color. And it's creepy because, like, when I opened Instagram to show you how deep the matrix is, I opened Instagram to get the URL to their website, which is Kiddo, K-I-D-O, Chicago.com. One of the founders, and it's owned by a couple, Doug and Kiwa. Kiwa went to my high school, Whitney M. Young Magnet High School in Chicago, where Michelle Obama also went. That's something that I like to mention whenever my high school comes up. But when I opened Instagram to confirm the URL for the website to share with you all, they were the first thing that popped up. Like, I didn't have to scroll or search. It was literally a 3-hour old post from them. So Zuck is in your head, guys. Like, yeah. If you don't know, that's kind of creepy. But they've got a very cool new Kamala Harris, the first but not the last series of shirts that they just dropped today. So please support them. Very great shirts. Lots of books and toys. Small family owned business. KiddoChicago.com.
That recommendation reminds me that friend of the podcast, Mike Birbiglia, posted on Twitter a couple days ago a call for people to respond with great local or small businesses that deliver. So he asked his followers to just send him the names and handles of businesses that they really love that they've been shopping at. And it's actually just a great, like, going through the thread that resulted. He posted it on November 9th. It's just like a great, like, list of small businesses like Kiddo that just, like, do interesting stuff and that are all, I'm sure, struggling like crazy right now. And if you are looking for fun things to buy for a little retail therapy and you want to support some non-Amazon places, it's a great place to check out. And Kiddo sounds awesome. I'll check it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was just on there. They have, like, all my favorite toy brands on there. So anyone looking to do their Christmas shopping, head over there.
Yes, and now's the time to do your Christmas shopping.
You're right that everyone who runs a small business is basically begging people, do your holiday shopping now.
Yeah.
Because it's really hard to get stuff in stock.
Yep, and to get stuff shipped to you right now is difficult. Even if they have it in stock, things have slowed down quite a bit. So you want to make sure you've got your small business goodies on time and that you're not taking your angst out at the president and his abuse of the U.S. Postal Service on somebody who's selling bath bombs and shea butter, because I promise you that it was not her fault. With that, thank you so much. This has been a fun episode. Just as a reminder, if you would like to have one of your parenting conundrums thoughtfully considered by the experts at Mom and Dad Are Fighting, please, shame on you, please send an email. Please do it. I dare you. Send an email to momanddad@slate.com or post it to the Slate Facebook group. Just search for Slate Parenting. Also, if you haven't already, what are you waiting for? Please subscribe to Mom and Dad Are Fighting on your personal podcast app of choice. It helps us out tremendously and it makes sure that you won't miss an episode. And while you're there, write a review. It helps people find the show. I'm going to admit, now that I'm subscribed on Spotify, it's so cool to see my name pop up.
It's very exciting that you finally subscribed to our podcast.
Well, I mean, I've been subscribed for a while, but I wasn't, like, using Spotify to listen to it. But now that I do it on Spotify, I was subscribed on a platform that I don't actually use, but it was subscribed to be subscribed.
Leave us a comment and put Jamila's name in it.
Put my name
in it. Make her day.
Because it feeds my growing ego. Now that I'm the vice president, because all Black ladies are vice president, my hubris is just surging by the day. That's all for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson. For Elizabeth Newcamp and Dan Kwa, I'm Vice President Jamila Lemieux.
Hail to the Chief.